Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so the story about the chimp crazy lady in Missouri is ridiculous, and it's kind of funny because you're like, oh my gosh, it's the chimp lady. But man, oh man, Ronch, I mean, when you really look into the story, I hope this woman goes to jail for the rest of her life. Like, it's awful what she put these chimpanzees through. But anyway, the latest update from this week is that a St. Louis County judge has ordered that Tanya Haddix, the HBO documentary Chimp Crazy lady, that she be arrested because she failed to show up for court this week. Now, if you kind of remember the chimp issue, it was here in Festus that Tanya Haddix had chimpanzees on her property. And this is a years-long legal battle between Tanya Haddix and people for the ethical treatment of animals. Now, I know sometimes we kind of like laugh at PETA because they're a little bit over the top, throwing paint on people, getting mad at other things. But they have a real case here because Tanya Haddix not only had chimpanzees, multiple chimpanzees in pretty awful conditions, but she also specifically had the movie star Tonka. Tonka the chimp was in movies like Buddy and yep. George of the Jungle, which is a great movie. Brendan Fraser.
Why are you laughing?
It is.
Why?
Brendan Fraser's best performance.
I don't know why that was so funny.
was he better in that than the whale?
Yes.
Yeah.
Much better shape, too.
And the
too.
Girl who does the lotion commercials now.
I've not seen this film.
It's a great movie.
Can you call it a film?
Leslie Mann, isn't it?
Leslie Mann.
Ursula,
yes.
I found your scrunchie. Anyway, it is a film. It's a film. It's a great film. But Tonka was in it. So at any rate, back in 2017, PETA sued Tanya Haddix, saying that she had several chimpanzees, including Tonka, the star, in inadequate conditions. Haddix agreed to improve the conditions at her now-defunct Missouri Primate Foundation, okay? So she failed to comply with that agreement, and the chimps that were still there were removed from her facility in 2021. The thing is, the officials never found Tonka. So Tanya Haddix and her husband claimed that Tonka had died. Her husband signed an affidavit that he had cremated the body. The thing is, PETA later found Tonka the chimp in the basement of Tanya Haddix's home in Sunrise Beach, Missouri, near the Lake of the Ozarks. And the picture here is really awful. It's a tiny little cage in a dark basement, and Tonka the chimp is there, and it's very, very sad. Now, last year, there was an HBO documentary that showed Tanya
Chimp Crazy
Haddix, yep, and her lying about the whereabouts and so forth. A judge in 2023 ordered Haddix to pay $225,000 in attorney's fees to PETA in its lawsuit, but she hasn't paid. She had court dates this week or last week. She didn't show up, so the judge now has said that she needs to be arrested.
Okay. All right.
She and her husband, because Judge Brian May ordered Tanya Haddix and her husband to show up on a hearing on Monday and say, you need to tell us why you didn't provide the documentation, and neither of them showed up.
Unless you are, I need to get to the bottom of the psychology of having so many animals on your property, unless you are running a legitimate sanctuary business, which this person really wasn't, right? So what is that psychology like? What is it that possesses you to want to have all of these animals that you really can't take care of? What is that?
I mean, I do think it's it's some kind of illness at worst, imbalance at best, because you're not healthy. You're not in a healthy state of mind. It's an obsession. I mean, Ranj, like I said, because it's so ridiculous and bizarre that there's chimpanzees, and she looks like kind of a caricature of someone who might do this, right? She's kind of a, she's a lot to look at.
She looks, when I see her, I think of the tiger lady, yes. Carol Baskin.
Yes.
That's what she just looks like
to
me.
She has that vibe. And so it, in some cases, or in some ways, you kind of like, oh my gosh, this is so bizarre. It's actually really sad. And you have to be pretty sick. You have to be sick in the head to have these animals locked up in tiny cages in a dark basement and then to lie about Tonka. So you're like obsessed because you want this chimpanzee. You know, in some of the crazy movies, like the murder movies where the obsessed lover, you know, kills the girlfriend or the boyfriend or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like that vibe, but with a chimpanzee.
It's also the vibe to me of somebody who is, and I think this is probably a little sadder, and that's somebody who hoards and mm-hmm. just has so much stuff, and maybe they've got multiple cats, and they don't really know where the cats are, what they do, and you know, you have a company come in and start to clean the place out, and they find dead cat carcasses. You know, they find dead cats because the place is just so filthy awful. That they had no idea where this cat has been for years, and it's been dead and skeletonized somewhere. You know, it's that same sort of mindset, which you're right, it's an illness. I don't understand how you get to this point. And we can joke about it and laugh about it. Ultimately, it's not that funny.
It's not funny.
No, I mean, it's, I know, I think we're more joking about her illness if she has one.
Well, here's a news story here. For this is from 2024 when the documentary came out.
Yeah.
Quote, Missouri residents who witnessed the documentary's actual events in Festus were definitely watching through their fingers, but weren't bananas about the situation. Why would you write that?
Who wrote it? The most clever person they have on staff. That's who wrote that.
Like, this is a serious conversation.
They weren't. But, okay, I take it back. This is hilarious.
I mean,
they weren't bananas about it.
I mean, I know, that's what I mean. That's why this is. I have mixed emotions on this because it's actually pretty horrible, and I'm on PETA's side. And when was the last time you heard me say that? But I'm on PETA's side, and I do think she should go to jail because it's cruel, but also, like I said, scary. It's scary if you could do that to another living thing. Keep them locked up in a dark basement.
Of course.
Yeah, sorry, you weren't responding.
And I'm with you on PETA.
Yeah.
There are times where I think they're joking. Sometimes they are so ridiculous, I think they're doing
a bit. Were they
the
ones that dumped the poop on the street?
Like, I don't remember.
Then it was frozen. Like, they ordered a bunch of manure to be dumped somewhere. At any rate, yes, you think they're crazy sometimes.
Yeah, so because a lot of the stunts are just
insane.
They are insane.
They're hurting their cause.
Exactly, because they are, they're right. You know, they're right for wanting ethical treatment of animals, and we should all want that. And I think, you know, humans in general have decided that we're not going to treat animals poorly.
Yeah.
Sometimes we are more concerned about how animals are treated than other people. So I agree with them on that, but there are just times they are insane, and it does absolutely hurt the cause. I completely agree with you on that. I don't remember the poop thing, though.
Yeah, I'll find it. But anyway, the story is bizarre because, again, they had the chimp transfer originally. Remember when the judge, when Tanya Haddix was in the original lawsuit, and she said, I'll improve my conditions for my chimp sanctuary. She did not. So officials came, removed all the chimpanzees, but could not find Tonka, the star. So PETA offered a $10,000 reward to anyone who could help locate Tonka or confirm his death. Because, again, they had signed an affidavit that he had died. But then an actor and former Tonka co-star, Alan Cumming, actor?
Yeah, yeah. I know he is.
He also matched that $10,000 reward because he knew Tonka. Now, again, as Tonka was eventually found in the basement. And so she is facing these issues. But can I... I guess they know where she is. They're going to arrest her.
Haddix?
Yeah, Tanya Haddix.
So, I don't know.
A few days ago, I was running.
Oh, no.
Well, I just...
She's not in your neighborhood, dude.
No, it's not. I was running. I saw a license plate that was chimp-related. It was chimp-related.
It was a chimp-related license plate. So you think that she's hiding out in your neighborhood.
Well, no, in the area.
That's the bottom line.
Not my neighborhood, but in the area.
She's not hiding out in your area.
I've seen it now twice.
No.
Dude, you think she's else would have a chimpanzee-related license plate?
Look, there are 2.6 million people, is that right, in the entire St. Louis area? Somebody else has a chimp license plate. It's not her.
Do you know how much you have to kind of be chimp crazy to have a chimp license plate?
Speaking of crazy, I am on the PETA website right now.
Yeah.
And they have a 13 surprising facts about PETA.
Okay.
And when I got to this website, you know how I said I think they're joking sometimes and doing a bit? At first I thought, okay, is this real?
Mm-hmm.
It is. This is on their website. 13 surprising facts about PETA. The very first surprising fact, we are pro chicken meat. Hold on. We are pro chicken meat as long as it's grown in a laboratory.
Oh, gross.
Okay. That's the very first thing.
So, Ronj, as we tie a neat ribbon on this, in January of 2025, two PETA activists were arrested in New York City because they were going to dump a truckload of manure outside the ASPCA's office. Yes, PETA's going after the ASPCA. And their protest was intended to criticize the ASPCA's endorsement of certain animal welfare certifications, which I guess they didn't like. The thing is, it was so cold in New York that when they tipped the dump truck bed to dump the manure on the street, it didn't go anywhere. It was frozen solid. The manure was frozen solid. Ew. So the poop didn't go on the street, and the two PETA activists were arrested. Protesting the ASPCA. These guys need to get life. Get a life.
Well, they did say that, according to their website, they do say that they take it easy on celebrities. They give them the benefit of the doubt. When a celebrity is wearing fur or exotic skins, they send a polite letter first.
And then throw paint on them?
And then they throw paint on them. That is Amy Marks Kors over there. I am Chris Ranji. If you know the whereabouts of the chimp lady, let us know. 314-436-7900. Text the show. Leave us a message on the Odyssey app. Whatever you feel like doing. Follow us on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. It's 104.1 FM.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, as you know, yesterday, the Gas House Gang with Chris Ranji, co-hosted by Tamar Scher of KMOV and Alexa Datt of FanDuel Sports Network Midwest.
Yeah, we had a nice time yesterday.
And they're awesome. Really great sports journalists. And I think they're good friends with Katie Wu, who writes for The Athletic, who is a brilliant reporter, sports reporter. And I want to be friends with them.
Why?
Well, because they're kind of cool. Here's the thing. I don't think I'm in the group. And I would love to be in the group.
Oh, you are not in that group.
I know I'm not in the group. But I kind of want to be in the group.
Do you understand why you're not in the group?
Well, just because they're young and beautiful and talented doesn't mean that I can't be in the group.
No, that's not why. It's because you're not fun.
What?
You are not fun. My impression of them is they want to have people in the group who are fun. You are the opposite of fun.
I do feel like I was a little bit of a wet blanket. Here's the thing. When I talk to people, I have to do so with an energy and an enthusiasm that is sustainable. because I can't be too excited all the time because that's not how I am. I mean, I'm way more excited than you are, and I'm more delightful, and I'm happier and kinder. Mm. But what I mean is, I can't be like, ah, oh my God, I can't do that. So I need them to know the real me. And so I was trying to win them over yesterday, but here's what happened yesterday, guys. So here's the thing. I want to be in the group with Katie Wu and Tamar Scher and Alexa Datt because they're cool and they're in the sports world and they're awesome. And I want to be in that group. And so anyway, that's something that I've been wanting for a long time. And yesterday I had a workout in Forest Park, right, with my Forest Park track club. And it was super sweaty out there and it was gross. And I had to get cleaned up. But the thing is, the workout went long and I thought, oh my gosh, I have 10 minutes to get into. I still have my old apartment. So I had to go into my old apartment, shower. So I had to pack a bag because nothing's there anymore. And I didn't want to be late. So I showered, but I had to wash my hair because I was sweaty, but I couldn't dry it. I couldn't fix my hair. So I went to work with wet hair. Didn't have time to put makeup on. Mm-hmm. I don't wear a lot of makeup, but every little bit helps. And I didn't have time for that. I just put some lotion on my face. And then I picked out a pair of jeans and a white t-shirt because that always matches. Well, it was one of those oversized crew neck white t-shirts, which doesn't do a whole lot for me, but I like it. And then a pair of wide leg jeans that happened to be frayed at the end. I looked like with the low ponytail and the flat wet hair, I looked like I had just finished painting a basement. And I thought, here's what I said when I walked in. I hope we don't have any in-studio guests. Well, not only were all of our guests in studio, but we also had Tamar Scher and Alexa Datt in studio. And I looked like a real doofus. I didn't look like somebody that I'd want to hang out with. Anyway, I want them to come back and I can fix my hair up.
Amy, I don't want to tell you this. It's not about your appearance.
I think it didn't help.
It's about what you bring to the table otherwise.
I don't think it
helped. Do you think these fun people, group of fun people you're talking about, like Alexa and Katie and Tamar, do you think they want you to come out and start talking about the Supreme Court Miranda decision from the 60s? They don't want to hear you talk about that stuff.
Okay.
You are objectively boring.
Well,
that's your problem.
Devil's advocate, though. Let's say you're three cool, fun-loving, successful young ladies. And then you meet this slightly older, slightly frumpier, slightly less fun lady. Wouldn't she be a perfect foil when you go out to highlight just how fun and young and awesome the
other... Who's this lady you're talking about?
Me! I'm the older frumpy lady. Would I not be a foil? Dude. Why would I not be a perfect foil? See, I would be... The other people, look at old Maude over there. I don't know. And then I think I'd be a great person to bring along with the group.
Well, because you think you would make them look better?
Even better. Yeah, they don't need to look better, but I mean, they would come across as that much more fun.
No. I'll tell you what would happen. If you go out with those women.
Yeah.
You go to some fun place. Yeah. I don't know where it would be.
Let's go get drinks. Okay. If I say, hey, ladies, want to go get drinks?
You know what they would do?
What?
All five of them.
Five?
I think there's like five.
I
or
named
six.
Three. There might be bigger. But
okay, well, let's say that they're the three of them.
Yeah.
They would all excuse themselves to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. And not come back?
Well, first of all, they wouldn't invite you.
Well.
Because you're supposed to invite all the other ladies to go with you. They would not invite you, number one. And then, number two, they would not come back. You're correct. They would go somewhere else. So, and you would still be sitting there and wondering where they all went. Meanwhile, they're off to the next fun place.
This is why I blame my guy friends. Because looking like a painter, you know, in baggy frayed jeans, like I just painted the basement and a white t-shirt and wet hair because I didn't have time to fix it. No makeup because I didn't have time. That works when you go to Buffalo Wild Wings. Okay. I think I spent too much time in Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, that's your problem. This texter says they don't want to watch Murder, She Bakes. Right. They're not watching that. And
hurtful.
They do not care about Barefoot Contessa.
Oh, come on.
You're the only person who likes that show.
Ina Garten is really cool. I bet they like her because she was like worked in nuclear energy in three presidential administrations. Mm-hmm. Her husband is the dean at Yale.
Yeah, these are the conversations they want to have. Do you understand? Like right now, you're perfectly illustrating why they don't want to hang out with you.
Oh, so you're saying they don't sit around reading Rudyard Kipling?
Nobody
poetry?
Does.
Boring.
Nobody does.
I think they might.
No,
I
they
think
don't.
You're not giving them enough credit. Tamar Scheer, journalism degree.
No. It's not
Indiana?
About...
Indiana?
She's
not, a genius.
No, hold on. It is not about whether or not they are intellectual, smart, because they are. It's not about that.
Okay.
It's that when they go out...
Yes.
People who are out want to have fun out.
I am so fun.
They don't want to talk about Justice Breyer.
I didn't.
They
want to.
They
want
to talk about.
That would not be my go-to justice to talk about.
This is what I'm talking about. You have a go-to justice.
Do you know
they want to hang out with
do
you?
Do you know the difference between a lawyer and a judge? A judge knows a senator. Do you know the difference between a judge and a justice? A justice knows the president.
Yeah, why don't you tell that joke when you're out with them and see how it lands?
Is that a joke or a fact?
I don't know what that is. It's embarrassing.
I think it's a fact.
Well, it's not funny.
So it can't be a joke.
Matt, you think I'm fun?
There's something.
Shut up, Matt.
There's something fun about you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's end the segment. Stop. Play some music.
The text message here says, Chris, would it be so difficult for you to compliment Amy and not be so negative?
Yeah.
You are, after all, supposed to respect your elders. You got roasted again. You thought you were getting a compliment.
Like a peanut. Well. A roasted. At any rate, my goal, I will keep you all updated. I would love to be part of the group.
We should have named the segment Amy Sucks.
Oh, well, that's not even close to what we were talking about.
Yes, it is. That's why they don't want to hang out with you. So,
there's a difference between sucks and boring.
Boring
sucks.
There's
a difference. I don't think so.
I think you're a nice lady.
I think you can.
What? Say it. Say it. Say it with your chest. Say it. Put some bass into it, Amy.
This is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Text message, Amy,
yeah,
to 314-436-7900 following our conversation about you not being fun,
yeah,
and why you're not in the cool group. This message says, you sound like you would fit in at every lawyer happy hour. We are, quote, attorney cute, which is a frumpier, lower standard. There you go.
I think
you need to befriend some attorneys and hang out with them.
I already do. So that probably explains it.
There you go.
Yeah, there are certain attorney bars. It's kind of funny. But no, I did want to be, and I know we're going to move on from this, but I forgot the most important part of why I'm not in the group. Because, see, during the Gas House Gang, Ronge and Matt Pajeski are short-term producer. They were in the room with Alexa Datt and Tamar Scheer. I was in the office working, you know, working as I always do while they're doing whatever it is they do in here. And I had my ice pack on my ankle because I remember heard it 6 months ago. And I had a workout and I've been trying to ice it after the workout because it's swelling and it's bad and my ankle is broken for the rest of my life. And Tamar Scheer and Alexa Datt came in and they said, oh, we should get a picture. And I stood up and I took the ice pack off my ankle. I was like, oh, sorry, I got this on. They're like, oh, no, what happened? And Matt goes, she has a rash.
Well, you may have. I don't know.
She has a rash. And I laughed. I was like, no, I hurt my ankle. And I took the ice pack off. You know, the classic rash solution, an ice pack. And I took the ice pack off. And they're like, I feel like I'm 70% sure they knew it was a joke, but 30% sure they might have been grossed out.
Well, you know, why didn't you should have clapped back at him.
You can't clap back.
You could have said something like, Matt has a rash too, but you can't see it.
Well, okay.
Oh, that's rude.
Right.
Well, I think because I'm pretty confident in who I am. Like for you, you say a lot of mean things to me, as the texters pointed out. I'm pretty confident in who I am.
Well, that one texter said I shouldn't be, and then they went on to insult you worse.
But I'm kind of like, I'm happy. I don't know what to say. I like it. I have fun. So I don't really feel the need to clap back, but I'll think of something.
For Matt?
Yeah.
The moment passed. It's too late.
Well, like there's not going to be another?
Well, yeah, there will be another.
No,
yeah.
There's not going to be another because they're not going to hang out with you. They're not coming back anytime soon. So that was the one shot.
Well, I just meant towards me.
Okay.
Yeah. But don't worry. I'm a girl, so I'll stew on this and find your weakest, deepest insecurity and find a way to broadcast that eventually.
I'm scared now.
No, I think I'm fine. Here's the thing. I'm a little uptight. I'm a little uptight. But this is a wilder version of me.
There are multiple versions of unfun.
Uh-huh.
One of them is a liability. Like this person is just too nuts, and every time you go out, you're going to get into some sort of trouble.
Sure.
You can't. Right. That's one. The other is the complete opposite. It is the uptight person.
Yeah.
And you know, both are not fun.
Well, yeah,
there are
many,
many versions of unfun.
But there's also many different types of fun.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Amy Marks Kors.
Training for the Olympic trials was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Whoa.
That's fun.
You should tell your new group of friends how much fun you had.
But the thing is, when you train for the Olympic trials, you can't really go out late at night because you got to get up and you got to sleep. So I think that's what I mean. Those two funs are pretty much mutually exclusive, unless you're just a stud and 20 years old and you can do both. But I can't do both. I can't stay up late and train. All right. But speaking of things that we like to do and good days, there was a new study that came out looking at which states have the most good days. But I think what they mean are people in the states, not like best weather days for states.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yes. They surveyed 5,000 Americans evenly split across all 50 states and look at the average American experiences how many good days each year. What do you think that number is? Do you know?
So I know what the number is. And I'm going to tell you, it is way higher than I thought it would be.
So,
it is so much higher than I thought.
A new national survey says the average American experiences 252 good days each year. It's
wow.
The annual bowl half full report. Okay. It gets even more niche. Conducted by Talker Research on behalf of Icelandic Provisions.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what of those words mean.
All right.
And it examines the habits, mindsets, and routines that shape Americans' daily optimism. This goes from sleep quality to screen time to meals and morning rituals. And it, quote, uncovers what fuels a good day and who's having the most of them. Most people know by 8:30 a.m. whether or not they're going to have a good day.
That's, I don't think I decide that.
I don't either.
By the time I wake up. That's like, I don't know if I agree with that, but I guess other people do, right? They've already decided by the time they get up and get showered, have breakfast, get to work, whether or not the day is going to suck. Maybe sometimes that's true, but don't you think your day can change?
I guess also, okay, so the state with the highest number of good days overall was Florida.
Yes.
They averaged 276 good days a year, which means only 89 bad days. On the other end of the spectrum, Connecticut, Kentucky, and Vermont, pretty random, all reported the fewest good days per year. Not sure what's going on in Vermont. They seem like a pretty happy state, but they're not. It's just, how do you define a good day? Because you can have a day where some bad stuff happens and it's still a good day.
I suppose it's the kind of person you are, right? If one bad thing happens, it can ruin your entire day. Other people don't let it happen, and it's the severity of it. It's what's interesting is in this list, 276 on average, good days. That's Florida. That tops the list, as you've mentioned. We, in Missouri and Illinois, both average 252 good days. What is even more interesting is almost every single state in this region is 252. It's us, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Kansas, Nebraska, Minnesota, the Dakota, North Dakota. 252 good days a year you average if you live in any of those states.
So, you know.
And Michigan.
So, okay. So you're looking at all of those states, which is a pretty good average, which means just fewer than one third of your days are bad days. So just over two thirds of your days are good days, just fewer than one third are bad days. And again, it's kind of funny how they defined this. In this study, food plays an especially important role in good days. Nearly all Americans, 93% of Americans, agree that a good day is largely dependent on getting nourishing food throughout. So, when you look even closer, respondents said they need high-protein, low-sugar, nutrient-rich foods to have a good day. So, I mean, but yeah, that's what, again, that's why this definition here is super fluid. But I get it. In order to feel good, I can tell you a rough day is when you're a little backed up. That's not a good day.
I feel very thankful.
That's not a good day.
In my life that I have not had that issue, and I've been around.
It's one of my
I've
worst
I've known
fears.
People. Yeah. I had a roommate who was always having trouble, and just, you know, I mean, there was Metamucil laying around. That must really suck, and I agree with that. But the one thing I think, this is my, there are a number of different things that can give you a good day, but I really truly believe the thing that can make you have the best day, unless there's some sort of, you know, outside incident that occurs, is if you get good sleep.
Yeah.
If you sleep well the night before, how your next day feels changes dramatically. Like if you get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And so maybe there is a lot of truth to that. You have decided by 8:30 whether or not you're going to have a good day. Maybe there's a lot of truth because people wake up, if they had good sleep, they're going to go out and get them, you know? And you probably feel that way for most of the day until it's time to go to bed again.
So
getting good sleep is so important.
Mm-hmm. I know, I agree. And according to findings, and this goes along with the good sleep, good health and nutrition are the number one most important thing for a happy life. This is now a happy life, followed by having strong relationships and a sense of purpose. And the study also found that an optimistic outlook might be the key to unlocking a good day. Enjoying healthy food, feel like we hit that already, laughing at the little things in life, and quality time with family. And I will say this, bad things can happen and things cannot be great, and I can even cry, but for some reason, I feel like most of my days are good days. There are hard times. You go through hard periods because you're dealing with something.
Of course.
But I feel like I have so much to be grateful for that I feel like most of my days are good days even when things don't go exactly according to plan. And I feel like there are some people where every day they're like, ugh, today was a tough day. I'm like, no, it wasn't.
They're in this room.
What?
I had to move today.
I did not do that.
I
do not. Hold on. You two idiots. I do not complain about my day to you. I do not. Oh, yeah, you could sit there and laugh. I don't. I told you I had an issue with movers. That's different than complaining about my day. This idiot over here comes in every day. Oh, there's so much traffic in St. Louis. There's no traffic in St. Louis.
This guy sounds pretty fun to me.
Yeah, you guys are making crap. I do not do that. You absolutely bitch about traffic, and there's five cars on the road when you come to work.
Don't protest too much.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Oh, my God. Let's get Dave back in here. Dave would be in the office listening to this idiot over here talk about how bad the traffic was when she came in.
So the bull half full respondents were found to be more perseverant, more prepared to be positive about their futures. And having more good days than pessimistic counterparts, which kind of makes sense. Optimism is more than a mindset. It's a daily practice, said the chief executive officer at Icelandic provisions who had this study commissioned.
This texter says, is this study called the most subjective study ever done?
I think it should be called that.
Also, they say, I am not fully awake by 8:30 a.m. I don't think most people are.
I've lived a lifetime by 8:30. Lived a lifetime.
It's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. Feel free to text us 314-436-7900. And you can also leave us voice messages whenever you feel like doing it, straight on the Odyssey app. It's Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX. Bernie Miklas will be with me, Chris Ranji, at 12 o'clock for Gas House Gang today. Until 1 o'clock, we're going to talk to the scouting director for the Cardinals, Randy Flores. So he'll be on the show. We just saw the Major League Draft, the amateur draft,
Randy
happen
Flores.
In the middle of the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. Cardinals will be back at it tomorrow. They're going to play in Arizona. So you'll have to stay up late for the Cardinals-Diamondbacks game. Gets going at 8:40. 8:40 is correct, yes. So that's tomorrow. Amy Markscores, Chris Ranji.
That's a late game.
I guess it's not so bad now with the pitch clock.
It's much better with the pitch clock.
Oh my gosh. Because those games were, like, if you had a 9 o'clock game, they used to not end until 12:30 or sometimes even later than that. But the pitch clock has done so great for baseball. It's been awesome.
I'm a huge hockey fan. And one thing with hockey, other than playoffs and overtime, like, you know when the game's going to end. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty nice little package of 2.5 hours.
Basketball, football, mm-hmm. you know.
And football is a longer commitment for sure.
It's a longer game commitment, but it's once a week.
Yes, yes.
You don't do it every single day.
And hockey is every couple of days for the most part. And, you know, it's a nice, tidy 2.5 hour package. And I do feel like baseball is way more manageable now with the pitch clock. Mm-hmm. And, we were talking to Bob Costas yesterday. He was saying, if I remember correctly, not thrilled with the ghost runner. Or not the ghost runner. Yeah, the ghost runner on second.
Yeah, the runner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was not thrilled with that.
And definitely did not like the idea of what they did in the All-Star game by deciding it with the swing off.
Yeah.
Where you pick three players, each player gets three pitches, and whichever side hits the most home runs in those pitches mm-hmm. wins the game. This was for an extra inning deal.
Yes.
Which was exciting. Again, I don't think I'd like it in the regular season, but it was definitely exciting.
On principle, in a court of law. Would you argue that it is the same as a shootout in a soccer game or a shootout in a hockey game?
I don't know. There's, it's the
same. Like taking out the emotion, is it not the same idea?
Yeah, it's the same idea. I don't know. Maybe there's something about it in baseball. I don't have a good rationale for this, but there's something about a baseball game. The way it moves and the pace of it and the way it's played, that if you finish it with a swing off during the regular season, something about it feels a little cheap.
Feels
I don't know.
Gimmicky for sure.
It does.
It feels very gimmicky. And you know what? Maybe they said the same thing. I'm trying to remember. I remember when the 5-minute overtime regular season for hockey moved down to 3-on-3.
Yeah.
Instead of 5-on-5. It felt a little gimmicky. Now, I don't think it's as big of a jump as a swing off. A swing off is a big jump from protocol. So the 5-on-5 to 3-on-3, it does feel gimmicky, but I kind of like it. Like, I think it works, but like, as I mentioned, I don't think it's as big of a leap as a swing off. Going 5-on-5 to 3-on-3 to a swing off. Very different things.
I agree with you. I think it would be weird in basketball to do that. NBA, you go to overtime and you go 3-on-3. I mean, they have 3-on-3 tournaments. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There's just something about the two sports that's different. Baseball, I can't rationalize it. Yeah. I don't know that I'd like it regular season. Maybe I would. I wouldn't push back too much if they adopted it. They never are going to. This isn't going to happen because games, even with extra innings, don't last very long anyway. Sometimes you'll get to 13 or 14, but that's very, very rare. So I think they'll just leave that as is. The ghost runner is fine. I don't hate that one as much as a lot of people do. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Well, I do want to bring this up quickly before the show is done, because we talked about the best days of the year. Well, they also again, more studies, more graphs on which days have, states have the best and or the most perfect weather days. And this was something I was talking about with my friend who grew up in a very perfect climate and moved here and complains about it vocally and frequently, the weather here, because she grew up, you know, in a beach town with perfect climate.
Yeah.
Which city in the United States has the most perfect weather days a year?
San Diego.
San Diego. That's right. They have 330 perfect weather days a year in San Diego. And so it tends to, it is 100%, they said, the very best when it comes to perfect weather year round. How many nice weather days does St. Louis have a year?
Six.
They're putting us in like the 31 range. What, 31 what nice
the,
days a
what
year.
What was the temp range and what do they consider to be perfect?
Well, they're looking at sun, temperature, humidity. Yeah, comfort, rain, cloud cover, all of that. So like, yeah, Phoenix has great weather, but in the summer, I mean, it's 115 degrees. They had like 3 months of
it's awesome in
over
January.
100.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they talk about Florida, how the snowbirds fly south for the winter, but there is humidity and, you know, there's some issues with Florida. So it's really, really nice. Of course, it's up there. But the over 90% of the year, San Diego County has perfect weather. The second, not surprising, all of these, the top four are California, Los Angeles, 88%, Santa Barbara, 87%, Ventura County, 86%.
So I think I've been told that I would like Seattle weather.
Pretty rainy.
Yeah, and rain's fine, I don't mind it, but I think I'd really like San Francisco's weather because it's always, like in July, it averages 67 degrees.
So here's what's crazy.
The hottest month of the year for them is September. And the high usually is 71. I can absolutely get down with that. That would be awesome. And the lows, mid-50s all year long.
So the top 11 are all California. San Francisco County, Monterey County, Alameda County. Number 12, the first non-California county / city / state. Do you want to guess what it is?
Is it in Florida?
No.
Okay. Then I have no idea.
Honolulu County, Hawaii.
Oh, come on, yeah.
But what's crazy is, remember how I said that San Diego's number one with 90% perfect days a year? Honolulu is 12th at 43%. That's a huge drop-off.
What?
Yeah.
People vacation there because it's nice all the time.
I know.
Huh.
But the top 11 are all California counties, and it's between 64 and 90% of the days are perfect.
Well, Hawaii must be awesome with how expensive it is and people still want to go there and visit. Because
it's
and I've never
beautiful.
Been. Have you? You've
oh,
been
yeah,
there,
I've been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Again, not rich. Can't go to the lake. Can't go to Hawaii.
Do you know the Lake of the Ozarks is called the Hawaii of Missouri?
I see. I knew it. That's why I can't go. We had a texter earlier when we were talking about the lakes. It says, Chris, you better stay away from Lake of the Ozarks because the big boat, little boat phobia may push me over the edge.
Oh, my gosh. That is such a good point.
Are there really big boats down there?
There are boats.
I'm talking
that
like
are,
cargo ship big.
Well, there are boats that are too big for the lake.
Okay.
I can tell you that.
Then I can't go. Not rich. Can't go to the lake because I have a boat phobia. All right.
At least he's got an optimistic attitude.
Anything that you missed is on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to us wherever. The smart speaker, tell it to play the Chris and Amy show, and it will. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Hancock and Kelly join the show because it is a Friday. They'll start with us for that first hour. Look forward to having you. But the Gas House gang coming up next, talk some Cardinals baseball and more. Bernie Miklas and me, that is happening in a moment on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.